This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Ugh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game on what is a lot cooler day. A little overcast, maybe rainy. But boy, those temps have gone way down here on Hump Day. We've got another loaded show for you again. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging in East Nashville. Chase McCabe is out on the west side in Bellevue, while Elijah Campbell is back at her Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We had a great show yesterday, great guest lineup. Man, it was great to talk to Mike Doc Emrick. Jeff Saturday was really good. I mean, we were loaded with fantastic guests yesterday. We hope to do the same thing today. Guys, how we doing?
Doing well, guys. Ready to roll. It was weird not having any games last night.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Well, we had Maction.
What is it, Maction?
Wait a minute. That was your cue, Chase. Where was the echo?
Oh, sorry,
the
sound,
the echo chamber.
Oh, boo. Yeah.
You were supposed to jump in there.
Darren,
Maction.
Darren said he didn't like it, and so I figured I'd, you know, take it back to the lab. Yeah, there was Maction.
Well, it just, I don't think it was being used properly. Like, that would have been a perfect cue. I mean, Willie put it on a tee for you. But you didn't know either. So.
Maction.
Okay. Bump it up a little.
Maction.
There you go.
You need the more hollow, echoey sound. Yeah, good Maction last night.
There was.
And more Maction tonight. This is, I guess, what the Mac is going to do this season, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a bad idea. Well, it's a great idea. If you're looking for attention, Tuesday and Wednesday nights, put your product on there. It's the only thing going. We had a baseball team function last night, kind of our end-of-the-year deal, kind of blowout party at a bowling alley, and the televisions were on Mac football games. I mean, and people were watching. That's what you want, right? You wouldn't pay attention if it was in the middle of a Saturday lineup. But
yep. And maybe you wouldn't be paying attention if you had your normal NBA, NHL games going on.
Also true. Also true.
Are we going to have pick six Friday?
Why would we not?
I just wondered if there was going to be games.
Is there
going to
be
enough sporting events to
pick
six?
I'm hoping we have at least six games left.
I mean, the SEC is just all but wiped out other than Kentucky and Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Florida, and South Carolina, Ole Miss, I guess. Those are the three that are on.
I got a funny tweet from somebody saying, I'm all for Kentucky, Vanderbilt, 2:30 CBS. That's pretty good.
Is that what they're doing?
Oh, I don't know.
They don't have one. There is no CBS game.
So they're just not going to
pick
one?
Up another game, I guess.
No. Huh? I guess they're going to the Masters.
At least you have, you know, a good fallback plan.
So, huh. Interesting.
Because it was supposed to be LSU, Alabama.
Yeah, which was going to be a primetime game.
And then it was going to be Texas A&M, Tennessee. Then it was going to be Georgia, Missouri. Then it was going to be Auburn, Mississippi State. No, I'm just kidding. That was not going to be that. But that's how many games have been postponed. There's eight total SEC teams postponed this week.
Man.
I've been bringing Memphis it up Navy. For weeks and weeks and weeks. And nobody's willing to go there. But I'm just telling you, it's going there. This whole thing of pretending like you're just going to stay on schedule, it's not going to happen. They're going to have to push. They're going to have to push back.
Well, they're
going to not have the same schedule that they've got. There's just no way.
I don't disagree with you, but they're going to have to make a move soon, or at least say, hey, just so everyone knows, we have a contingency plan.
But isn't it – and I know this isn't the NCAA, but anything associated with the NCAA, I get it, this is football playoffs. Well, but the NCAA is with the other, you know, just games and the conferences. Isn't it so them to, you know, still not be coming out and saying that?
Well, of
Which
course.
Some conferences could wait to rush and cancel this season, right? When everybody was like, what are you doing? Wait.
Right. And that's a part of the problem. You have
now nobody's willing to rush and go, yeah, we should probably push this back 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, but we can still get it in. No, that's the problem. You have conferences that are doing their own thing and they won't work together, and so you have all of this, you know, this disjointed schedule, and you're gonna have teams that are playing, you know, less games than others, and then a committee that has to figure out four teams in a playoff. And that's how it's going to be.
I still think they're going to push it. I think they're going to have to push. I just do. I mean, Pac-12 and Big Ten with 14 teams hasn't even come close to seeing how this is going to play out for them, right? At least the SEC is on the back half now of their schedule. And look at what's happening. Pac-12 and Big Ten with 14 teams, it could be even worse. It could be. Before it's all said and done. I mean, Pac-12 just started, and they've already had issues.
Well, it's getting tougher and tougher, but just because in hindsight, you'd have been better off just knowing what the cases are today. It's 100, 125,000 new cases a day, as opposed to around the time the season would have started. Normally, it was about 30,000 cases. So you just do the numbers, the odds. The odds are better that you're going to get affected by it. And it's going to be even worse in the coming weeks. So it's going to get harder and harder to keep playing. So in retrospect, the earlier you started, the more games you're going to get in. I don't know how much you can guarantee, especially on the college campuses. Now, of course, everybody's going to go home for Thanksgiving. So maybe that will simplify it for some teams because you won't have as many people on the campus. But it's just getting harder because the caseload is going up.
If you go to ESPN's college football page, they have to the right, they have the top headlines, so it's usually 6 or 7 stories. 4 of them are Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M, Tennessee postponed. Cal, ASU game in jeopardy due to contact tracing. Memphis, Navy postponed due to COVID-19. Louisiana, Monroe, Arkansas State postponed. 4 of the 7 stories are all about postponements. But we kind of knew this was coming.
And it's only Wednesday.
It's only Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't know.
For those of you wondering why we added the NFL to silly underdog picks, now you know.
there you go.
You know what? And I think it's been cool no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
Even if they were playing a full slate, I think it's added an extra just layer to underdog picks that I think is fun. Because it does allow us to root both days. It allows us to watch both days and have rooting interest, which is cool.
And for us to be able to talk about tomorrow that I had 2 heartbreaks. Last-minute underdog losses.
You did?
I did.
There were a few of them.
They were pretty gross. I mean, we've had some gross
Yeah, mine
losses.
Were gross.
Well,
were
Chris's Texas game, that was gross.
That was gross.
Your Arizona State game, that was gross.
Yep. The Jets are the Jets. But
the Jets. You just kind of go, yeah, it's the Jets.
Jets I mean, going to jet.
I don't know if they were trying to tank or if they were just being themselves. I don't know. But, you know, it's just like you just knew they would find a way to mess it up. They always do.
They did. They did not let me down.
No, they did not. And you got, 21, 22 points left out in the wind?
Yep.
Blown away?
Because I had 11.5, and I think when I took the Jets –
I have like it here. 10.5, 7.5. So you had 18.
Oh, the Jets was
points.
Only – it went off at 10.
Yeah, no. Oh, when we did underdogs, it was like 7.5.
Thursday it was 7.5? Wow. And then it went all the way to 10 by Sunday. Okay. Or Monday. Huh. Okay. Interesting. Well, still, that's a lot of points no matter what. It's a lot. I want to say this right out of the gates. We're going to have Dan Dockich coming up in just over 5 minutes from now. But
look out. This is going to be fun.
Thank you to all the veterans out there, those who are currently serving, those who have served, we appreciate you, we love you, and we thank you for everything that you have or are doing for our country. So thank you to all the veterans out there.
Yeah, looking forward to talking to Dan. And also, I'll throw this in, 107.5 The Fan, his station, their morning show is going to do a crosstalk segment with our morning show tomorrow. So looking forward to that. I'll get you the time. I guess that would help. But they're going to be doing that tomorrow, which I think will be neat.
Good idea. I like that.
Yeah, we've done those in the past. I know we've done
some. But in the next 5 minutes, you'll enjoy Dan Dockich because he gives unfiltered opinions on all sports. He'll have great insight on the Colts. And we'll also maybe pick his brain because he's probably most known nationally for his college basketball background. He's one of the top analysts out there, in my opinion. And we'll just see his thoughts on getting through the college basketball season, which is going to be even more, you know, as we know, has its own challenges as the weather gets cold.
And that crosstalk will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow.
I just don't know if the getting cold part really changes anything.
People are inside, and when you're inside and you have any gathering, if you don't have the masks on, it just increases the chances. The air circulation, there's just all these studies being done. It's part of the reason the caseload is going up now. In some areas of the country, it's already getting cold.
In some cases, being inside is better. Because you know what? We've had too many functions outside that hasn't been good. Yep. So maybe staying inside is a good idea.
If you're by yourself, or if you're in a small group. Know, not if you have a dinner
nice
party of
weather
10.
And gatherings of, you know, hundreds or thousands has not been a good idea.
Well,
so
that's never been a good idea.
There's been a lot of that. So maybe staying inside is a good thing when it's cold. You're right. If you're doing it.
Also, what we don't know is when you're playing in a gym.
Yeah.
One thing is good. The best thing we've learned is you can play the games and you don't walk out of the game going, oh, boy, two or three people got sick, right? The exchange of, you know, whatever goes on in the competition of a game doesn't seem to be what causes it, right, or what spreads it. It's all the other stuff, right? So how does that translate to a basketball game in a gym? We'll find out, I guess. But fingers crossed, hopefully we can get a season in.
All right, we will come back and we will head to Indy. 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis, Stan Dockich. We always enjoy our chats with him. We'll talk to him next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Little old school crew bringing us back on this overcast Wednesday here in Middle Tennessee. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. We now head up to Indianapolis. Let's bring in our buddy Dan Dockich, who we always enjoy chatting with. 107.5 The Fan up in Indy. Dan, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, I heard Gary Bettman. I felt like I should boo, right? I mean, as soon as I hear his voice, I feel like everybody's supposed to boo when you hear Bettman. But I'm doing great, man. It's a beautiful day here in Naptown.
It's a conditioned response. It's a conditioned response, for sure.
Dan, when commissioners were talking in front of no one in the arenas, it was weird because they weren't getting booed.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Bettman, boo! You know, it's great. I love it.
Can you confirm or deny that you had any say in Michael Penix not coming to UT and instead going to Indiana? Were you behind that?
All right. I'm willing to say this publicly. You know, me and my rich media moguls put together a package that Michael Penix just couldn't refuse. We got together, Isaiah Thomas, myself. No, I'll be honest with you. I love that he's here, but I don't really follow football recruiting very much, you know, because it's Indiana and it's football, to tell you the truth. But, I mean, you know, you're in Tennessee, man. You got to. But I don't – and I remember the coach telling me, you know, hey, Dan, man, we got this kid. And when I first saw him, I thought, God dang, he's going to – he looked like a stick, you know. But he's gained a lot of weight. And it is fun watching Indiana football. And it's really fun watching Michael Penix, man. He is terrific. He really is.
Well, the reason that was brought up is obviously Tennessee's lost four in a row. Their quarterback situation is a mess. And now there's a tweet that's been circulating that he put out there, I guess, a while back, whenever Jeremy Pruitt was hired, and basically just said, you know, that he was going to decommit because he didn't feel like this new staff really wanted him, which, you know, as you can imagine in these parts, that probably hasn't gone over well when you see how he's playing for Indiana.
Hey, you know, one of the things, I'm so glad I'm not coaching anymore because, all right, so Jeremy Pruitt takes the job. Right? I'm a huge college football fan. It's literally my favorite sport. You know, they're going to hire Shiano. Everybody goes nuts. Jeremy Pruitt takes the job, and everybody's pretty excited. And, you know, you think as an assistant that you're going to come and do, you know, what Saban did. You know, that's who I am. I did the same thing with Bobby Knight. I thought, hell, man, Bowling Green's going to national championship game. I don't give a damn. You know? and then you lose. And that's bad. Like, losing is death, right? So this is what Jeremy Pruitt, I'm telling you, this is what he's going through. Losing is death. You can't sleep. And if you do get to sleep, let's say you wake up to go to the bathroom at 2 in the morning. That sleep is over. Because it hits you, man. We've lost. And then you lose another. Well, modern coaching is not only am I losing four in a row, but, oh, man, now I wake up and there's some tweet from 6 years ago that I got to deal with, man.
Right.
I mean, it's terrible. But Penix is good. I tell you this, Penix, you know, he is a guy that I think in the way, particularly college football, and it seems like the NFL's going, he's a perfect guy, man. He throws it well. He runs it. He's mobile. He's tough as hell, and he leads. I mean, he's a great leader for Indiana.
I feel like I can say this without offending you because it holds true in this market. When we talk about Vanderbilt, when Vanderbilt beats teams they're not supposed to or never have over the years for a long period of time, typically that coach gets fired. So I'm real curious how this plays out in Ann Arbor because I don't think they hired Jim Harbaugh, no respect, to lose to Indiana in football.
No. Oh, look, 1980, like I've coached in Indiana 17 years. I went to every football game that I was in town for. In 1987, I was my first year as an assistant for Coach Knight, and my mother and I, my brother, my sister, I was the only assistant coach, by the way, that lived in the student apartments and had a big keg before the game, but I didn't let Coach Knight know that. And my mom and I, my brother, my sister, my dad, we're all on the field, man. This is 87, so Indiana wins first time since 87, and if you're Jim Harbaugh, and you're making $9 million, and you got all that quirky crap that's great when you're, you know, when you're winning, but you haven't beaten Michigan State but one time. You haven't beat Ohio State ever, and now you're losing to Indiana? And frankly, the game wasn't even close?
Nope.
Man, you better hope those ties to your alma mater are so deep that you're dug in because that's a formula for getting out of there and headed to the pros or somewhere else.
You're right about that. Have you guys figured out yet this week? I know it's just Wednesday. Did you figure out what Phillip Rivers fell over in Lucas Oil Stadium? Was it the yellow line? What did he fall over after the interception?
No, he fell over old age. Old age came and said, "Now, come on, man, don't embarrass yourself. Look, Phillip Rivers can't move on a good day. I mean, he was on my show last week. And we were making fun of it. You know, he owns up to it. And then now you got him going backwards in a huff. He had no shot. And as I said, he should just be happy that the defensive back jumped over him, didn't step on him and use his chest as a springboard because that would have been something for all time. But he struggles moving, man. And it's truthfully, you'll see it's painful to watch when he has to move out of the pocket because two things. Number one, he really can't move. And number two, you're like, oh, man, this guy's going to get killed by somebody that can move. But no, man, the spirit was there, but old age jumped out of the turf and grabbed him.
See, if I were him, I would have never reached up and still tried to make the attempt. I would have grabbed my leg like something bad happened, like
right.
I popped a hammy or something, a calf. Something went wrong in my leg.
Yeah, like a second baseman. It goes through the wickets, and he looks at his glove. What the hell, glove? What are you doing?
How do you guys, and I know we're going to get into a bunch of stuff with you, but how do you see this tilt on Thursday night between the Titans and the Colts?
Well, for the Colts, you know, I put a poll out. Do you think the Colts are offensive team, defensive team? And it was like 3-1 defensive team. They're a good defensive team. They really are. Their offense, and it's really simple. When Rivers plays well, and it's not when they protect him, because NFL analyst Brian Baldinger put a great 5-minute video out how the Colts protected Rivers. They're just a little bit decimated at wide receiver if T.Y. Hilton doesn't play, and they're playing rookies and free agents, and they're just not on the same page. So, but when Rivers plays well, this is a pretty good football team. The disappointing thing here in Indianapolis is the run game. You know, everybody, and this NFL national media guys, and you guys know this because, you follow the Titans every day. You know what they're really about. And I'm sure sometimes you listen to national media and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Well, the idea that this Colts offensive line is this great, iconic offensive line is nuts. They can't run the football. They're second worst in the NFL. They're 3.6 yards a carry. They just simply can't run it. And, you know, they drafted Jonathan Taylor to be their guy. And he, you know, everybody tells me, and, you know, from inside the organization, he just misses too many holes. He doesn't see things well. So if Rivers plays well, the defense is good enough, no question. The kicking game is good enough, no question. If Rivers plays well, Colts will have a chance in the game. If he doesn't, they really struggle.
We're talking to Dan Dockich, who is with ESPN Radio 107.5, The Fan, up in Indianapolis. And so, Dan, let's take it a step further. We know that this has been a pretty lopsided head-to-head series over the years, and the two guys that really give the Titans fans night sweats are T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle. They're both kind of banged up, but those two guys have made so many big plays against the Titans before. What do you know? I know T.Y. is really trying to get back on the field, but what kind of level are we talking here?
Well, it's funny you say that because everybody says, you know, T.Y.'s struggling this year. Rivers either can't give him the ball or they're not in sync. Just wait till they play the Titans. He'll be fine.
Everybody, that's right.
Everybody says that here in town. He's got a groin injury, and as you guys know, man, you know, there's a groin injury to a speedster. I'll never forget that. This is 100 years ago. I'm playing at Indiana in the mid-80s, and I get a groin pull, and the doctor says, look, you're going to be fine to play here, but this is going to affect you forever. It does. It has. And for a speedy guy that relies on it, look, this isn't anything official. He is trying to play. He is a gamer guy. But I'll be surprised if he plays. I really will. Colts are 1-10 without him over the course of his career. Even though he's not having a great year, he is a he gets the respect that a vertical threat gives you. So, you know, he's trying, but what I've been told is they would be surprised if he played. Doyle is he got his bell rung nice in the first half. I mean, it was I was surprised they didn't eject the player. I don't even think they called a penalty, but he has a concussion, and in fact, I'm waiting for a friend of mine to let me know where he's at. Jack is one of those, you know, Jack's an old school tight end, right? If he can go, if let me put it to you this way, 5-6 years ago, before, you know, CTE and the concussion protocol, Jack would be playing, but obviously everybody's far more careful, and it's a good thing. I think we're going to find out today whether Jack can go or not.
It's been such a tough week, especially in SEC country, with all the games being postponed. And we know that as the passing weeks go by, it seems like it's getting tougher and tougher to avoid having an issue with the virus. What's your outlook right now, Dan, on college basketball? Do you think we can get the season in?
You know, it's funny. I just got a call yesterday from my boss at ESPN. I'm flying to South Dakota to do what used to be the Battle for Atlantis. And now, you know, it's called the crossover, but Memphis State's in it. So I was so happy when I heard that. You know what I mean? I mean, I was really happy. And then, they said, hey, are you okay with flying? I go, man, you guys pay the bills. I'll do whatever you want. I'll wear a mask. I'll wear a hazmat suit. I'll put my head up between my – I don't care. But I believe this is going to get started. And in South Dakota, they're planning on – having fans. In fact, I don't think the governor there ever closed the state down. I could be wrong.
If there's a state that'll let you play, that would be the state for sure.
Yeah. So then they said, hey, look, we're going to probably send you to North Carolina for the Iowa, North Carolina Big Ten ACC Challenge. So my assumption is, you know, based on my phone call literally yesterday at this time of day, you know, we're going to at least get off and running. I know what happened with the SEC. In Big Ten country here, Wisconsin had to cancel two games because of COVID. you know, we'll see. Big SEC, I think, was far smarter. They started earlier and they put in a, you know, they put in a bye kind of a week, or they stretched it out. Big Ten started later and, you know, basically said 8 games in 8 weeks. And now, you know, they've had some issues. So, hey, look, we don't give a rat's ass about any of it. Indiana is undefeated, baby. I don't care whether the SEC plays. I don't care whether Wisconsin plays. I need Indiana, Michigan State this weekend. That's what I need, because we're a football state here, pal.
You're good to go. You got them, you're good to go.
I've never said that before in my life, but it felt kind of good.
Yeah.
We're talking to Dan Dockich, 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis. And Dan, we know the addition of DeForest Buckner, what that has done to the Colts defense. But somebody like Darius Leonard, how have you seen his game grow this year? I mean, I know we know 2018, just such a breakout year. Last year, 5 sacks. He's only got the 1 this year. But is he still that game disruptor that the Colts have hoped he could be?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Again, I go back to local versus national. I have a good friend, Rick Venturi. He's a 35-year NFL defensive coordinator, and he does the color for the Colts. And Rick, over the last couple of years, even though Darius Leonard had big numbers and even though Darius Leonard was, you know, a Pro Bowler, he's like, yeah, he can't play against the run. He gets tied up. His plays draw highlights. They don't draw consistency. And now Rick's like, look, this is a different player. And a little bit of it is, you know, there's two things. One, figuring it out. You know, NFL, it's hard to come in the NFL and all of a sudden, you know, do what that kid did and be perfect. The second thing is he got stronger. He sheds blocks better. He's more attuned to leverage and things like that. He's really good. And, you know, the greatest thing about the kid is, man, he is first team all energy. You know, I always said during my coaching career and even on TV, look, if you don't have enthusiasm, if you don't have energy, then you're an energy drainer, man. You're draining everybody. And he is an energy giver. He plays, and you'll see, he goes side to side. He handles blocks. He handles basically anything that's thrown at him. And he's fun to watch. He's one of those guys that you find yourself watching him. Like, you know, you just find yourself watching 53. In fact, I'll give you, you know, this is how beloved he is. My brother, who's older than me, this is a 60-year-old dude who makes a gazillion dollars. He's got, you know, a $250 million project going. It was nice at Indy Sunday. I said, hey, man, meet me at the golf course. We'll play 9 holes. He shows up in a Darius Leonard jersey. And I'm like, man, come on, you're sick. What are you doing? But he's kind of taken all of us by storm, Leonard has, this year in particular.
So one thing we've discussed here is how this team has kind of taken the head coach's personality. You know that Mike Vrabel is very aggressive and he's not afraid to try something, and that seems like that's kind of the personality of the team. Have you seen that with Frank Reich and this Colts team?
All right. Yes and no. Yes, and I think Vrabel's great, man. I think he's just absolutely freaking great. I love that guy. Our guy, and this is bad to say because, you know, there's dumb Frank and then there's smart Frank. Like Frank Reich is a very cerebral guy. Like, he was going to be a pastor. He's a great dude. But, like, the other day, you know, they're down 11. They got the ball. It's fourth down. You know, chip shot field goal, make it a one-score game. Okay, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't go for it. He goes for it on fourth down, which, why would you go for it? If you don't get it, you miss. But on top of that, with this line, they don't run it, and they roll out. I mean, Rivers is 106 years old. He can't roll out. Play gets blown up. And Frank will do stuff like that. But Frank isn't afraid. He is a lot like Vrabel. He's not afraid, man. He'll go for it on fourth down. He'll go for it on fourth down in his own territory. He goes by a lot of feel. When you think of, like, Vrabel, I think of tough. And, you know, even though we're going to run the ball, even though he's a defensive guy and all that kind of stuff. When you think of Frank, you think of passing game and that kind of stuff. And that really hasn't evolved yet. But he has had injuries. He, you know, luck quitting on the team, you know, right before the season didn't help. But he's a very good coach. He just makes some decisions, and you're like, come on, man, he didn't need to do that. But, again, I'm sitting on my fat ass at home, and he's got to make the decision, so I get that. You know, I mean, what's easier than saying, oh, man. But, you know, again, I go back to the line, and I go back to not being able to run the ball. You guys, fourth down and an inch, let me close my eyes. You're giving the ball to Derrick Henry, and he's getting whatever he needs to get. Here, with this, you know, we got the world's greatest drafted a left guard sixth in the draft, for crying out loud, and everybody says he's the greatest guard in the history of the world. Well, they don't even run behind him, and that's a little disappointing sometimes, that kind of stuff.
Dan, leave us with this. You know, we saw this in our state here down the road, West Tennessee, Penny Hardaway. Boy, recruiting class comes in here, big name, tearing it up. And then, you know, things happen with getting in the big recruits. Next thing you know, kid's ineligible, kid can't play. Anybody waiting in the bushes up in Ann Arbor? Juwan Howard seems to be getting everybody going to Michigan. What's going on up there?
Juwan Howard's doing a hell of a job. I'll say this. I don't know. But I know this, man, Juwan Howard, I've known that kid. He's the only kid in high school. Coach Knight and I went to his high school, CVS, Southside, which is really a tough area in, you know, in Chicago and in the world. Man, my man came out and met us at the car, walked us into the school. Juwan Howard's a great dude, man. And I'll be honest, my son played at Michigan for Beeline, and Michigan's an easy sell, even for basketball. I mean, it just is. And Juwan, when you meet Juwan, you're like, man, that's a really good dude. like that's the kind of dude, you know, you just want to hang with. So he is getting it done, and we'll see what happens, because the Big Ten in basketball, at least this year, is absolutely loaded. But we'll see, you know. We'll see. But I can see guys wanting to go play for that guy.
Interesting.
Man. He's a good dude.
Did I see that right, number one recruiting class?
What's that?
Did I see that right, the number one recruiting class currently? Is that right?
So far.
Yeah,
so far, yeah, but I you know what's going to happen. Calipari's going to figure this out. Kay will get somebody. You know, it'll go back to the usual suspects. Hey, I got to ask you a question. My daughter lives in Nashville. My wife and I are driving after my show. We're going to the game. What's the best way to get tickets to the game tomorrow night?
Ooh.
Oof.
They let people in, right?
Now,
I mean, StubHub is the best way, that kind of thing.
Well, I can tell you, now this is 2020, right, and there's less tickets out there. I have always felt, because they have not gone to a modern paperless system, that there have always been guys out there
everywhere
selling tickets everywhere. Now,
oh,
that's
really?
That's on your normal Sunday. Now, I haven't tried it this year with the reduced number, because they didn't even have fans the first home
game.
But traditionally, there's always a bunch of guys out there with tickets, selling them on the
every
street.
Corner,
and there's
the
no
stadium.
There's no restrictions for that. And never, never.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good, because Indiana has, you can scout as long as you're not 50 feet, you know, from the building or whatever, or a church. Hell, I don't know. Sometimes we act more religious than we are here. But
that has always been the best way, Dan. But
yeah,
as Willie said,
we got to put an asterisk.
2020 is a little different, so I'm not sure if it's the same setup this year. But I would go that route first.
That's what I'm doing. I'm getting in around 6 or 7, and I'm we're picking up my daughter. We're going straight there, and we're going to go do that. That's good information. Thank you.
And drop the line. Don't you know who I am? It always works.
Hey, you see my World Series ring?
Dan, always a pleasure. We know you got to get ready for your show. Thanks for doing this. Have fun at the game, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Very much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Right, that is Dan Dockich. 107.5 The Fan up in Indianapolis, and his show starts in about 25 minutes, so we do appreciate him joining us. Good stuff.
Good stuff. I almost said talk to Tim Hasselbeck, but remember Tim bought, you know, like he spent like $100 a ticket for a preseason game, so he's not the guy to call. Remember he told the story? It's like, Tim, don't you know somebody that can get you a good deal for tickets for a preseason game? He said, yeah, I paid, you know. We were like, we asked him, like, what'd you pay? He took his family. And he paid, like, regular price for good seats for a preseason game.
That was him saying, you know what, I don't want to put any effort or work into this. I'm just willing to do whatever, and let's just go. That's what you do, right?
Right. Shut the brain off. And
If I don't want to go through all the layers of however to make this work, I'm just going to pay it and be done with it.
Now, I honestly have never had trouble buying a ticket to a Titans game, unless it's like the Patriots in town or the Steelers, that's a different deal. And so I am curious. I just maybe think about it. I hadn't, but I don't know what that's like now this year. I hope we didn't give Dan bad advice, but you guys would agree that
on your run-of-the-mill Titans game, you can buy a ticket off the street pretty easily.
Yeah. No question. That was the right advice. Just not sure if that's the lay of the land in today's landscape. I don't know. But none of us know, because none of us have tried that, or I haven't talked to anybody that has done that this season. So we'll just wait and see.
So if we see Dan tomorrow night walking around outside the stadium in the second quarter, we're like, oh, man, we steered him wrong. Yeah. We steered him wrong.
Let's wait a while before we ask him to come back on. Hopefully he'll have forgotten
the next time we ask. Sorry about that.
Hey, with this weekend's major golf tournament along with pro and college football, there will be no shortage of action. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook, wants to put you in the center of it all. To celebrate Sunday's action, DraftKings is ensuring all new users, you will be covered up to $100. Yep, that's right. You bet. They cover you risk-free Sunday betting on all of Sunday's action. DraftKings will have you covered up to $100. DraftKings has a special promotions and odds boosts every day of this year's tournament in Augusta, Georgia, which begins tomorrow. By the way, did anybody see the hole-in-one? We'll get to that after this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME. And when you sign up, to ensure your Sunday bets up to $100, that code again, 1025GAME, during the sign-up for a limited time, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only, risk-free coverage paid out, and site credits restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and you need help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Got a book? Maybe you should look into trying to see if you can round up the right person, handler, or whatever. See if we can.
Hey, you're on the air there, D-Mac.
Do what? We on? Is this thing on?
Yep.
Oh boy,
that one was on me. I thought you were starting. The way you said Jim Gray, I was like, oh well, he's ready.
Well, he's got a book out, and I thought it'd be cool to get him on.
Listen,
I can't think of the last time it's Talking with the Goat or Talking with Goats.
Talking with Goats, nice.
Yes, and he interviews a lot of goats. And I don't know if they're interesting or not, but he interviews a lot of them. Jim Gray usually can get the most out of anything and everybody. Maybe he gets the most out of goats.
Well, it's usually not dull.
No.
Is what you can say. It's not always fair. It's sometimes you're like, what is he doing? But you're right. It's when he has an interview with somebody, you usually want to watch.
He's had some pretty memorable interviews over the years, right? Sometimes
Pete Rose
for the good stuff, and sometimes it's just, you know,
LeBron.
Well, let's be honest. A lot of controversial interviews. Yes.
Oh yes.
He's got that one question, right? Everybody goes, Jim,
ooh, come on,
Jim. But nonetheless, he'd be great to talk to. So anyway. But I pass along. I didn't know we were on the air.
Dave, didn't start Dombrowski talking about flyovers or anything. That's good. Good job.
Well, the good news is I was just talking about Jim Gray. It could have been a lot worse.
Well, I'll say this: in the 6+ months that we've been in 3 different locations, that's the first time that that's happened. So I would take that as a win.
Pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep. Pretty good track record.
True. Yep. Dave Dombrowski coming up at 11 o'clock. Our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck at high noon. So we got a lot of things on our plate today to get to, as SEC tilts in particular continue to drop like flies. Now 4 games postponed this weekend, only 3 left standing, and we'll see. Right? I mean, it's still just Wednesday. It's Wednesday morning. We'll see. Hopefully there'll be SEC games this week. You never know, and there's been a lot of other postponed games around college football. So not sure where this is going, but it's taken on an interesting tone. And by the way, how about the NFL putting out there? I thought this was interesting. Just in case we can't get everything in as planned, which, I found that, here we sit in mid-November, that they're putting that out there like, hey, we may just add, we're probably just going to add another team to the playoffs.
if they have to cancel games, I think is the caveat,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Am I getting that right?
Right. If they're unable to get, and basically,
isn't that kind of wishy-washy though? That's a major thing. Like you get an extra team in there, and you're sort of like, we'll see.
You slide that in there this week. Like
that's,
what?
That's bad. I don't like that at all. Honestly.
Why do we?
I've been waiting to talk about this because when I saw that, I was like, either you got to decide right now and say we're going to 8, or you just keep it the way it is. I don't get the whole if games start getting canceled, we'll go to 8, because if I'm sitting there and I'm a team and I'm on the fringe and it's close, like you have a conflict of interest, right? You have a lot of teams going. Well, yeah, let's go for 8. We might be the 8th. And then you'll have on the other side, you'll have a team going, wait a minute, we've earned a bye here, and now we got to play another game. We've earned a bye. So I just don't like changing the rules in midstream. I realize this is 2020, but make a decision. Like either you're going to 8 or you're not.
I just thought it was weird timing this week.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes.
I mean, I saw it.
Well, it's been out there for a while, but still.
Well, no, but the. But that was – they made a point to – it may have been out there for a while, but they made a point this week to say, hey, just a reminder, hey, this is for sure. If we can't get everything in, we're going to add another team. And it was like – I just thought that was interesting. Why you would put that out there? Are they getting the vibe that's just around the corner? Or – I don't know. I just thought that was weird. I just kind of took a step back like, huh, are you telling us you anticipate – this coming? Is that where this is going?
That's a good question. Well, we definitely, as you just laid, you know, the backdrop, we see what's happening in college. We've been saying for a couple weeks, you know, we got our fingers crossed that we can get through the high school playoffs without, you know, a team that really has a legit chance to win a championship having to not play. That's the nightmare, which absolutely could happen. If you just have a little bad luck or, you know, it's the wrong thing happens, you have a certain amount of control, but sometimes, as we've been saying, you can be doing the right things, but it just hits you at the wrong time. The NFL, I guess, can, you know, they, as we asked the question yesterday, I don't know if they've adjusted some of the protocols to have a little easier time, but it's almost becoming routine each week that a team shuts down their facility at least for a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Steelers this week. You've got Roethlisberger can't practice last week. Stafford couldn't practice. And, of course, as the season goes along, it's not uncommon for a player who's injured to not practice anyway. But they're finding ways to keep the games going without adjusting the schedule anymore, right? How many weeks has it been since they moved a game? It's been a few.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Right, but I guess they're thinking that. Like they can't get too complacent. You can't let your guard down, and they're saying, hey, law of averages says we might have to move a couple more before it's over.
But to their credit, I will say that, you know, the moves that they had to make, and the Titans were obviously a big part of that, they made it work. And whether it's an extra Monday game or the Tuesday game in the Titans-Bills case, I mean, I know it was inconvenient for a lot of teams, and you had the Steelers that were upset about losing the bye or having to change the bye and all of that. But, you know, the NFL has been pretty steadfast in saying that we're going to stay on schedule, but college football could take a page out of this book, say, hey, at least they have a contingency plan. The timing of announcing that contingency plan was a little weird, but at least they have one.
Aren't you guys a little surprised? I am, that the announcement is this: we're going to add a team and add games, and not more what we were talking about before, and that is making plans to play the playoff games in a bubble. Because
right.
You can add all the teams you want, but it's still, you could still get hit with the situation where a team has an issue, a big issue, on the week of a playoff game. And you've increased the chances of that happening by adding another team. I'd still like to hear more. Is that going anywhere, having at least some of the rounds of the playoffs in a bubble to guarantee that you'll be able to complete things without any issues?
I mean, it would make sense, but I haven't really seen anything on it in a while.
Nothing. There's been nothing.
I just don't know. as attendance keeps increasing in a lot of places, and what did they announce? Super Bowl is going to be, what did they say, 20, 25%? I don't remember. They just put that out there in the last couple of weeks. It's 20, 25% they're going to operate on at attendance-wise.
It's going to be, hang on.
I think what the problem, Willie, that they have
20%.
Is 20% for the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Is how do you do that when it's in a lot of places like here, attendance is they're able to increase a little bit, you know, each home game it's going up a little bit more people they're letting in. So how do you do a bubble situation, and are you going to eliminate home fields? Are you going to eliminate home field advantages?
I'm saying you would have to do it out of necessity, not because you want to do it. Like, this is a contingency plan. This whole ABA team is a contingency. So I'm just saying, why aren't we hearing more about a bubble as a contingency? Because that's the safest contingency plan. Just adding more games, I don't know. I just...
Well, there's no way to bubble the regular season, so I'm not sure I follow what you're looking
you've
for.
Made your bed there.
I don't know.
Well, I'm saying, okay, they're making this thing. Well, if we lose some games, we'll just add an eighth team, so we have more playoffs. I guess more revenue. That's a contingency plan. That's contingent on the virus messing with your schedule. So, by the same token, the virus could mess with your schedule in the playoffs, and so a contingency could be that you play games in a bubble, and so you mitigate the risk of having games get canceled in the playoffs. So it's the same principle.
Yeah, but once it's happened, it's happened. I mean, either you go to that or you don't. You can't have it as a backup plan once it hits.
You have to have it ready, because I'm asking the same question here. When are you deciding to add the eighth team or not add the eighth team?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't decide on the fly. It's either you go into the playoffs with that plan or you don't. You can't say, oh, now Pittsburgh's in the playoffs and their quarterback is contracted and there's like six other guys. Okay, now let's bubble up. We can't. I mean, it's too late then. I mean,
not if you're working on it now and have it ready.
Well, how do you do that on a Wednesday going into playoff weekend? So it happened. No,
we're working on it now, halfway through the season. You're working on it behind the scenes, so you have it ready. You have the sites set to go. You have your protocols set to go. You have the hotels, all of that stuff you can be working on.
But
right
how
now.
Do you do that? Because how do you do that if everything goes off? I don't understand. Either you unveil it and say this is what it's going to be, or you don't, right? I mean, I don't know why it would come out. Because how do you do that on the fly? It's either that is the plan or it's not. That's what I'm not following. Because either you can't roll it out in the middle of the week. Like, you can't then start once you're in the playoffs.
But
okay, here's the
saying.
Contingency plan.
Well, no, you wouldn't do it that late. I'm just saying you might have an emergency situation, though.
But that's what I'm saying. There's no reason to have a contingency plan. Either you come out and say, this is what we're doing just to prevent this from happening, or hey, if it happens, you know, we have to adjust. I mean, we'll have to. I don't know how else you do it. You can't change midstream. Either you go into it and say here, or you say let's just keep our fingers crossed and hope this works. Does that make any sense?
Not to me. I think you got to be ready for everything in 2020, and it sounds to me like they're going full steam ahead. I'd like to know what the plan is for a playoff game that if the quarterback for the number one seed can't play.
How can you plan for January until you get into January and see what January looks like? How do you plan?
Well, you can have contingency plans.
Contingency plans to do what? What are you going
to
do?
To play in a bubble.
A bubble. That's what
okay, so
about.
The minute it happens on a Wednesday, then what? Everybody bubbles up?
No,
you'd have to make the decision, obviously, well before that, a couple weeks before that. But I think
how do you make a decision if it hasn't happened a couple weeks prior?
But I think what Willie's trying to say,
you don't make the decision then. But I'm saying in mid-December, if you've done the groundwork, you can make a call in mid-December to say, you know what, it's getting bad out there. We can't risk not having playoff games be played with everybody available. We're going to go into the bubble.
Well, but we don't know that they haven't done. They don't have that behind the scenes. They just maybe they've just chosen not to unveil that.
That's all I'm asking. I'm asking, are they doing that behind the scenes? You haven't heard anything about that. There was an article about that a couple weeks ago, and there hasn't been any follow-up to it. Remember, there was an article that came out saying they have been checking with Dallas and the usual suspects of who hosts neutral site games.
Well, we know Dallas, the stadium, will be free and available.
We know that.
In January. So yes, we know that. I can name a couple of other stadiums that will be available. Jacksonville Stadium will be free and available.
Yep. It'll be good.
It'll be good to go.
Miami?
I don't know about Miami.
We don't know.
I'd say, maybe a little premature because they've started winning a little bit. I was going to say Atlanta, but, I mean, they're probably not. But they've been stringing together some wins.
They have.
Who knows? We've seen it before.
Vegas could be.
Raheem Morris may keep. He may get it. We've seen it happen.
Wasn't he the interim in Tampa and got that job? Or did they just hire him? I can't remember.
I thought they just hired him.
I don't remember. So long ago.
Didn't they let somebody go because they just couldn't lose Raheem Morris? Didn't they let somebody else?
No, that was they let Lovie Smith go because they couldn't lose Dirk Cutter.
Oh, yeah. Yikes. That didn't work out.
No, they hired Lovie Smith for like 2 years.
That didn't work out. That's right. They just could not lose Dirk Cutter. Heaven forbid. Okay. We'll come back. Dave Dombrowski. This will be interesting to start the second hour of the program. But first, Chase has a word.
I do, and it's about BetMGM. You've been hearing me talk about these people, their sports book, their app. All you have to do is download the BetMGM app, and you'll find out why they are the king of sports books, and they are here in our state. They're celebrating their arrival to Tennessee by offering new customers $100 in free bets when they wager $1 on the Tennessee Titans game. That's right. Sign up for BetMGM and use bonus code 1025GAME, and you can immediately turn $1 into $100. The Volunteer State loves sports, and no one makes the game more interesting like BetMGM. So these are the things that you can get with this app. They have parlay bonus payouts, live betting action, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. They are the same people that bring Showtime to world-renowned casinos and resorts. They have brought Game Time to Tennessee. Download the BetMGM app or go to BetMGM.com and get $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on the Titans game and use bonus code 1025GAME. Bet confidently with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
This is Amy Brown from Feeling Things with Amy and Kat. Back to school season always feels like a fresh start, not just for kids, but for all of us. It's a great reminder to create new routines and find meaningful ways to connect with our family, friends, and community. Hasbro Games make it easy to gather around the table. Put the screens away, share some laughs, and create joyful memories together. Whether it's Monopoly, Connect Four, Guess Who, or another family favorite, there's something for everyone. You can find these and other Hasbro favorites at your local Walmart, walmart.com, or simply tap the link in today's show notes to bring more play into your week.
This is Rick Burgess from The Rick Burgess Show. If you're still auto-renewing your car insurance without shopping around, you are probably throwing money away. I'm telling you, go check out Insurify. In about 2 minutes, totally free, you can compare quotes from over 100 companies all in one place. Now, here's what I love. Insurify actually monitors your rates and alerts you when prices drop, so you never miss out on a better deal. Millions of people have used it to stop overpaying, and there's no reason you shouldn't too. Do yourself a favor. See what you can save right now at Insurify.com.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.